called The Necessity of Intimacy. The Necessity of Intimacy. Is that spelling correct? The Necessity of Intimacy. Say to the person necessary next to you, it is necessary for intimacy. All right, the place is full. That's great. First of all, before we start, I want to tell you what this series is not about. And unfortunately for some of us who need some marriage counseling, it's not about intimacy between a husband and wife, although that's really important. That's all through the Bible. It's not about intimacy with your dog, although that's awesome to have pets and be lovers of pets, but it's intimacy with humanity, with you, with me, with the creator of the heavens and earth, with God. And that's what this series is about. It's the necessity for intimacy for ones of us who were created in his image, who find ourselves sucking air on this planet to be intimate, to have a relationship, to have friendship with God. And it's pretty important. Who thinks it's important to be intimate with God? Maybe tonight this concept is foreign to you. Maybe this concept of God being intimate with you is foreign. Maybe you could understand if he was intimate with the Pope, or intimate with a pastor, or intimate with a really good person like Mother Teresa. But the thought of God, the creator of the heavens and earth, being intimate with you is a foreign concept. Tonight we're going to journey through some of the Bible, which is a good place to start, and have a look at what God thinks about this whole thing of intimacy, relationship, and friendship. We've just finished a series called Uncomfortable, Uneasy, and Restless. Does anyone remember that? It was only a few weeks ago. It was Uncomfortable, Uneasy, and Restless. And in that series, we were talking about the purpose, the mission, why we're on this planet. And the vision of Hope Point is transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. And that's a pretty big mission. Who believes that's going to take a bit more than Red Bull to accomplish? It's going to take a bit of juice. It's going to take a bit of energy to transform our community through the love and power of Jesus. And I love that key word of Jesus in there, because he's the one that we've experienced that's transformed our life. But there is a part that we have to play in that. And like I said, it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some juice. It's going to take some energy to see this purpose, to see this mission fulfilled in our community. And for that very reason, we need to come to this place of intimacy with God. Because how many know that if we just take off on this awesome mission and we don't have this intimate place of God where he's empowering us, he's giving us the juice to do this stuff, then we're soon going to be frustrated. We're soon going to be discouraged and we're going to give up in a short amount of time because the job's just too big. The job's too big. But as we come to this place of intimacy, relationship, friendship with God, it makes it all possible. Because, you know, we can function out of a God who we know with just rules and regulations. We can do this stuff out of duty. We can do it because we feel better about ourselves if we obey God. But real fruitfulness comes out of this place of intimacy. Let me read you this awesome quote. This is from Heidi Baker. And for those that know Heidi Baker, she actually spent... This is an awesome... A lady of God who's a missionary now in Africa and Mozambique. And her and her husband had been there for quite a few years. And they were doing this ministry. They were preaching the word of God out of obedience, out of duty, and not out of relationship. And she shares quite openly about how it was pretty tough. how it was pretty tough for those 10 first years before she came to that intimate place with God, and then all of a sudden things changed. But let me read you this quote. It says, all fruitfulness flows from intimacy. All fruitfulness flows from intimacy. Have a think about that. It's profound. Tonight I want to have a look at two blokes in the Bible. These are two guys who model exactly what it was to be intimate with God. The first one is a guy by the name of David, King David. We probably are all familiar with him as killing a giant, Goliath. The second guy is a guy who you're probably familiar with as well, and his name's Moses. And Moses went down in history as a friend of God. And David went down in history as a man after God's own heart. So these two guys went down in history as guys that really got this intimacy thing with God down pat. Friendship with God is not something that is just relating to a God who knows what he does, but a friend comes in closer than that. A friend starts to understand a person, their emotions, why they do what they do, just not what they do. And here Moses goes down as a man who's a friend of God. David, a man after God's own heart. He didn't just know the ways of God. He didn't just know things that God did, but he actually knew the heartbeat of God. He was close enough on an intimate level, relationally, that he actually had a heart after God. The important thing for us to ask tonight is not only do we put these guys up and go, well, that's awesome for them, but the good question to ask is, why was Moses, or what did he do that caused him to be a friend of God? What did David do to cause him to have a heart after God? And I'm just going to read a few scriptures from the book of Exodus, which is the story of Moses. And then I'll just reflect a bit on David as we go. But if you got your Bibles here, Exodus chapter 3. I'm not going to preach long tonight. We will be out of here to watch 60 minutes. If that's still on, is it? Moses chapter 3, verse 1. I'm just checking, Elaney. You're awake. Good. Jacob chapter 4, no. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 says, now Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, and he led the flock to a far side of the desert to the mountain of God. Verse 2, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. I'm going to stop there. To give you a bit of context, Moses at this point is about 80 years old. He's in the bush. He's out in the desert. He's looking after some sheep. And all of a sudden, he's walking along. And if we just go back for a little while, we know that Moses was a Hebrew, but he was brought up, he was adopted as an Egyptian, and he was brought, for those who have seen Hollywood movies about when Moses parts the Red Sea and all that type of thing, this is the story. And here we have Moses that is brought up in an Egyptian family. He is brought up in the culture. He is brought up in the schooling. He is brought up eating the food, learning the language of the Egyptian ways. But he's a Hebrew. And we understand, we read in Scripture before this happens, that he's obviously struggling because he sees injustice in his own people who are slaves to the Egyptians. For 400 years, they're slaves. They've been abused. They've been used by the Egyptians. And it gets to such an extent one day when he's about 40 years old that he sees one of his own people being bullied by an Egyptian, and he goes in to try and free the guy and ends up killing the Egyptian. And unbeknownst to him, the word starts getting around that Moses has killed this Egyptian. So he decides the best plan of action now is to get out of there and flee. And here he is 40 years later. He's been out in the desert for 40 years looking after sheep. And here we pick up the story. Here we pick up the story where Moses is walking along and all of a sudden this bush is literally on fire. Now, about 50% of scholars believe that in those days it was quite common for a bush to self-combust. 50% of them aren't really sure. The point is that the bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning. It wasn't burning up. And the more amazing thing was that the bush is actually talking to him. So here we have the story where Moses is walking along, and I don't believe he was just out there with a brain-dead shepherd's type of brain, but he was actually, for years and years, there was a cry in his heart that was coming up within him about the injustice of his people. And here we pick up the story where he's walking along, we can understand from the text that he's probably crying out to God about the injustice of his people. He's crying out to God and he just doesn't understand why, but it's just not right. And here God speaks to him from this burning bush. And I just want to pick up the main thought which I want to talk about tonight, which is verse 4. And it says, "When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.'" It wasn't till Moses turned aside and inquired, observed about the bush, that God actually spoke to him. I find this amazing. I actually find this ironic that God is ready to deliver his people. Why couldn't God just speak to him when he was looking after the sheep? Why did God have to put something in his peripheral vision, like a burning bush that wasn't being consumed, to get his attention to then speak to him? I find it fascinating that it wasn't till Moses changed his direction, removed the distractions, and went and observed what was going on here that God then spoke to him. Tonight I want to briefly talk about the ability to ignore distractions, to come into that intimacy, that relation, that friendship with God. I think it's such a huge key, especially for young people today, to live a life and somehow being able to ignore distractions to hear the voice of God. Ironically, the story of David pretty much starts as well in the desert. It starts in the desert, also looking after sheep. And here we see a different story of David, but it's similar in way that here he was, removed from distractions, worshiping, praising, praying to God. And I think there's something important about sometimes is turning our back on the busyness, the noise, to observe something that God is about to speak something profound into our life. I I find a lot of things fascinating, but I also find this fascinating that Jesus, as we read through the Gospels, that Jesus walked past a lot of sick people and he kept walking. Jesus walked through crowds of people. He healed a stack of people, but there was people that he walked past who were lame and he kept walking. There was people that he walked past who were blind that didn't receive their sight. But yet we see stacks and stacks of stories about someone crying out. We see stacks of stories about someone who cried out and Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." We see heaps of stories of desperate men and women that just weren't satisfied and they cried out to Jesus and he touched them. He changed their life. There's something about this turning from distractions. There's something about this cry that was in the heart of Moses that captured the attention of God. If we flick quickly over to chapter 33 of Exodus, there's a lot happened between those chapters, but I just want to pick up here. Chapter 33, verse 7, it says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent." Once again, we can't read all the chapters between it, otherwise we'd be here all night. But the point I want to make is that 30-odd chapters later, when Moses is now in the position to lead the people of God from slavery and from bondage, it says that Moses still identified something that had started him on this journey in chapter 3. And it was that he made a deliberate decision to move outside the camp. Now, we know that there's probably a lot of reasons why he did that. One of them was probably because there was sin in the camp and he wanted to remove himself. The other one, I believe, is because he wanted to move away from the noise to hear the voice of God. And it says that he would go into that place and speak with God. But it was as though he removed himself from the tent for a period of time to clearly hear the voice of God from the busyness, from the noise, and come into that intimate place with God. He understood the necessity of intimacy for fulfilling the purpose that God had for him to lead these people out of Egypt. He understood the necessity of intimacy with God. We have David, who, as I said before, he's out looking after sheep, out in the desert as well. Do you reckon the morning before he killed Goliath, do you reckon he woke up and thought, "I'm going to kill a giant today"? I think he woke up and thought, "It's just another day out here in the desert." And all of a sudden he gets a call from his father to deliver some lunch to his brothers who are fighting in the battle. And all of a sudden he finds himself in this place where there's heaps of noise. But see, David had built up this intimacy, this relationship, this friendship with God that was overriding all the noise. He had found this place of intimacy with God that he could hear the voice of God, so at the time when he stood in front of Goliath, he didn't have to run off and fast for 40 days. But the voice of God was louder than the other voices around him. It's so powerful that it's It's those times when we find those times to remove ourselves from the noise around us. We live in a noise culture. We live in a culture that is full of noise and full of information. Statistics say, apparently this is quite accurate, that you will receive in a 12-hour period more information than people have received in their lifetime in past history. You will receive in the next 12 hours, if you're awake, more information than some people have received in their lifetime in previous history. What does this mean? This means that intimacy with God is a necessity. It's absolutely essential for us to come into that place where we can block the noise, block the distractions, and come into that place to hear the voice of God. That's pretty full on, eh? The next 12 hours, you'll have more information than some people had in their entire life. Who's ever went for a walk without their phone? You feel naked. You feel like there's something wrong. I've done it a few times, sometimes by accident. But honestly, it's difficult. It's difficult for us to do some sort of life for a certain amount of time without our phone, without our devices, without this constant influx of information. But what did Moses do? It wasn't till the point where he turned aside from the distractions that he went and God spoke to him. I got a question for you. This could be blasphemy, but it's just a question. I wonder if in those 40 years that Moses was out there in the desert looking after sheep, I wonder how many burning bushes were burning that weren't consumed that he just walked past. I wonder if there were any before that. I wonder if it wasn't to a certain point in time that all of a sudden this cry came up in his heart for the injustice. That somehow he tuned his life is to what God wanted to do, and somehow he blocked out these other distractions. It's hard to think that a flock of sheep could be a distraction. Maybe it was. Sometimes we need to escape to hear the voice of God. It's not about retreating. It's not about getting out of where God's put us and just being a hermit in a cave and that type of thing. It's about spending time that we spend with God in this intimate place of relationship. We live in a culture where we are overstimulated. We just jump from new thing to new thing. It's just constant. Social media is a big part of it, but all other avenues, it's just the next thing to the next thing. We're overstimulated in our mind. There's so much going on that we have to be intentional about working on this thing called intimacy. You know, Moses' decision to go outside the camp, he did this to make sure that he was standing in the right space. He made sure that he was in the right space before God. A little while ago, we decided that we were going to, any major decision that we were going to make in our life, that we were going to do it in the presence of God. And that's not to say that we can't be experiencing his presence all the time, but it was that when we come into that place of surrender, then that's the time to make a decision that could change the course of our life. And it's amazing what happens when we make decisions even though they might be small, in a place of surrender before God. I encourage you, if you've got big decisions in your life, if you've got small decisions, if they're financial decisions, if they're decisions about who you should marry, who you should date, what you want to do with your life, let me encourage you to make those decisions in a place of surrender before God. Because I've found that decisions I've struggled with, when I come into the presence of God, whether it be at church, whether it be at home, but just in that place where I've come to surrender before God, all of a sudden the decision is easy. The decision seems clear. And sometimes it's a moment of turning away from our distractions like Moses did and speaking to God. Try leaving your phone behind. I'm not telling anyone that have to do this. I just think you might find it interesting what happens if you just set 30 minutes, an hour, to go for a walk, leave all the devices at home, leave all the distractions, and just start to engage with God on a personal level. Last year, I had the opportunity, and Rach was kind enough to let me do it. I went and camped in the bush for a week. And I left all the distractions at home. Unfortunately for Rach, I left all the distractions with her. But it was a period of time that I camped out. I didn't talk to anyone for a week. I sat there each day at the campsite. I poked around with this fire and I just talked to God. I just read the Bible. I just came in that place where there was no agenda. I was just there to experience God. And I started to write stuff down and God started to show me some awesome stuff. Stuff that's changed the direction of my life now. Stuff that He's put in my life that wouldn't have happened unless I'd turned my back on some distractions. The point is, it doesn't have to be a week, but it might be a moment of time that you find where you say, I'm overstimulated with information. The awesome thing about God is He's always speaking to us. He's always willing to speak to us. It's up to us to get in that place, that space where we can hear what He's saying. I might get the music team to come up now. We're just going to finish again with that awesome song.